Begin the current daf, Masechet Zvachim, daf Lamed Gimel. Begin on the second line down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, and that is we open up this perek regarding the halachas of certain individuals that are, although they're generally pasul, but for shechita they're going to be kosher. And one of the individuals were a tummy. Regarding a tummy, the Gemara said that we run into a problem, because a tummy individual cannot enter into the Azara. So what does he do? So the halacha is that he could go ahead and do it on the outside of the Azara with a long knife and slaughter inside. Because as Ula had quoted the name of Rish Lakish, the halacha is that if a tummy that even puts part of his body inside the Azara, even just his hands, he's going to get lashes. Because a bia b'miktus shma bia. And how do we know that? Because the pasuk says b'chol kodesh le'siga, and in that same pasuk about touching, it compares to vela mikdash le'tavi, not entering into the base of mikdash. Just like touching is partial, so too entering is also partial, and therefore the halacha of the prohibition of coming to the base of mikdash for a tummy person will be even partially, and therefore he can't even enter his hands into the azar. Says Gemara le'misayeli. Let us say from the following brayse that supports Ula that bia b'miktash shma bia, that we see that a partial entry is considered like a full entry, and therefore a tummy person, although again as we said in our Mishnah, allows him to do the shechita, but it would have to be from the outside. He can't even stick his hands in to the azar, because the brayse says as follows: kolas micha shahayusham, all the leanings on the animals of the karbanis that were done over there in the base of mikdash. Says the Tanya of the brayse, kaira alein ani. I say that they have to be right after the leaning, says the Tanna, has to be the slaughtering. As the Pasuk says, v'samach, the leaning, and the next Pasuk we're after says, v'shacha, the slaughtering, which have to be one right after the other. Says the Tanna, the Brayis, the chutz mizu, except for this one, the asham mitzayra. The carbon asham of mitzayra, which is his purification after his 7 days of purification, on day 8, which we taught this halacha of the asham mitzayra in the previous daf, and that Brayis, says the Braisa, that's the only one that's going to be the exception. That you're not going to have tekev l'smicha shechita. Right after the leading is going to be the slaughtering. Why? Shahisa b'shar nikanur, because where was the mitzayra? He was in the gate of nikanur, which is the eastern gate going into the azar, as the Mishnah teaches in the 6th Perek Masechta Shkalim, that the on the eastern side was the shar nikanur. Now, the gateway space of the Shar Nikanor, of the Nikanor gate, was not sanctified with the sanctity of the Azara, in contrast to all the other Sha'arim of the Azara. As the Gemara says in Masechet Pesachim Daf Peihem and Beis, the reason for that, why it was done like that, is so that Mitzayra could stand over there and then stick his hands into the Azara, which is, that's where they would go ahead and bring out the Karban Ashim, and that's where he would lean on it, because he had to go ahead and have his purification over there, stick his hands in. So that's where he would be standing. That's where they would bring the Karban Ashram, and they would do the smicha over there. And then they would go ahead and bring it back to the place where it would be slaughtered, and then it would be slaughtered. Why? Because She'ein Mitzari Yochel Likanes L'sham, the Mitzari cannot enter into the Azara and to do smicha. Ad, until he's purified, She'maz Nalav Midam Chatosim Midam Hashamay, that they spray for him, like Rashi says, doesn't mean literally on him, because the only thing that they put on his thumb and his big toe is only from the blood of the Karban Asham, but regarding to the Dam of the Chatas, what it means to say is until they throw on the Mizbeach, the purification of the blood of his Karban Chatas and the blood of his Asham, meaning when he's purified, only then could he enter. Up until then, besides sticking in his thumb, he cannot enter in his body to do smicha. Rather, they have to bring the animal out to the halal of the Shar Nikanor. That's where does smicha, and then they bring it to where it's slaughtered. So you're not going to have tekev l'smicha shechita. That's what the Tanya of the Braisa says. On that says the Gemara, v'i amrit bia b'miktzis lo yishma bia. Now, if you would say, not like Ula, that a partial entry is not considered entry, so then wait a second. You could have tekev l'smicha shechita, because l'ayil yodei, let him stick his hands into the azara, past the entryway is not sanctified. That's not a violation of going into the Azara. But still, let him stick his hands in, velismich, and do smicha, and slaughtered right there by the entryway. Now, the reason for this is because every entryway that there was over there, the width of the entryway was 10 amas. Now, in regards to the Shar Nikanor, that makes it, since it was dead center facing into the entryway of the Heichal, 5 amas of the entryway was in the north of the Azara, and 5 amas was in the south, because it was directly opposite in the middle of the Azara. So you could slaughter it in the northern side of the opening of Shar Nikanor, which is on the northern side. Because at this point in the Gemara assumes that it's going like Rabbi, who says that the whole northern part of the Azara is fit for the Shechita of Kachim that need the northern side. So even that means to say the northern side of the beginning of the Azara, which is the place where Kahanim could go, any Kohen or any Yisrael even, as we said in the previous parak, where it's going to be considered the northern side. So obviously, of course, we hold like Ula, that Biba Mikdash Mabia, no. Yeah, his thumb that he sticks in to get sprayed on, that the Torah says he's allowed to do. But to stick his hands in to lean on the animal, that you can't do because Biya ben Mikdash Shma Biya, obviously like Kula, because if you held not like Biya, so what's the problem? Just stick in your hands, do the smicha, and do the shechita right there. Obviously, it's because we hold like Kula. On that, on Rabbi Yisrael, he rejects the Raya. He says, no. Hamani, who's the time of this Brisa? Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Hudahi. The Amma that he says, Merachig Tzafin, it's further away in the north. Meaning, the northern part of the Azara that's fit for the slaughtering of Kachi Kachim, which need to be in the northern part of the Azara, is far away from the opening of the Shaar Nikanor, more than 22 Amis, which is the 11 Amis of where a Yisrael could walk up to, and another 11 Amis where only Kahan could walk up to, which each one of them is 11 Amis, as the Mishnah says in Sechlis Midas. So we're going to look at Yisrael Yehuda, who he says, as the Gemara says in Yumin Dav Lam Vav Men Aleph, what is considered the northern part of the Azara where you need the Shechita of the Kachi Kachim? Which is the carbon of the Asham Metzayir, which is the Asham, it's Kachi Kachim, has to be from the wall of the Mizbeach up until the wall of the Azara on the northern part of the Mizbeach and nothing more towards the east. So therefore, you would have to take the animal all the way to the northern part of the Mizbeach, and anyway, even if you're saying that he would lean in to where he is by the gate, and that, yeah, Biba Miktis is not Shema Bia, and he could lean in, doesn't make a difference. He can't go in any further than that, and you're going to have to transport the animal all the way, 22 amas away, so it's not a raya to Ula. But the Gemara still asks. So even if it's like Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, but le'avid pishpish, but let them make a small entryway. As we learned in the Mishnah Masechet Shkalim, when it talks about over there, all the different entryways that they had over there, so it says that on the eastern side was the Shaar Nikanor, which we were just discussing before, and it says, Shnei pishpashim hayulai, which means to say that there were two smaller entryways, one on the right side of the Shaar Nikanor, one on the left side. And they're actually from the counted calculations of the entryways that they had there in the Azara, because they would do the certain amount of prostrations of bowing down according to the amount of openings they had into the Azara. So the Gemara's question over here is, then why didn't they make a small entryway in the northern wall of the Azara opposite the area of the Mizbeach? Let the Mitzvah stand over there in that airspace of that gateway, stick his hands in and lean on it. If not, that it's a raya to Ula, because Biya b'miktash shma Biya, because even if we'd make a gateway over there in the northern side where you could slaughter over there, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that wouldn't help, because he would have to lean in part of his body, and like Ula says, Biya b'miktash shma Biya, and that would be a violation. So obviously it is a raya to Ula. So it says the Gemara, no, Abaye v'Rava Dami Tavaye, they both say, quoting a pasuk in Dibur Yomim Aleph, that says, Hakol b'ksav, everything as it's written, Miyada Hashem Allah Hiskel, from the hand of Hashem upon me was given the insight. Kol Malachas HaTavnis, all the work of the structure, which this is a pasuk that David HaMelech said, that he said the whole entryways of the Azara and the measurements and the building of the Beis HaMikdash was given over to me from the hand of Hashem, which means to say that nothing more could be added. So therefore, we could still say it's not like Ula. That Biba Mikdash Loishma Biya. Well, then why didn't we make a small entryway over there that he could lean his hands in over there and it'll be taken with smicha shechita? Because we're not allowed to add on to the structure and there is no such small opening, and therefore we have no choice that it's not going to be, it's even if he could stick his hands in, but you'll still have to walk 22 amis because we don't have a gate over there and you're not allowed to add it on, and therefore, says the Gemara, there's no raya to Ula from this brisa. Now, that was one version of Rav Yisrael originally rejecting the raya by saying that it's not Rebbe, it's Rav Yisrael Behudahi. Ikadami, that those who say the way he rejected the Raya from the Braisa to Ula, is that Amrav Yasev, he said that truthfully you could say that this Braisa is even like Rebbe. But then the question was, if it was like Rebbe, so then why don't you just lean over and lean and do smicha right there? And according to Rebbe, you could do shechita right there by the Pesach of Shaar Nikanor on the northern side, so you'll have tekevla smicha shechita. And that's Rav Yasev, no, it's still not a Raya to Ula. Because it's not that you can't lean in because of Biya b'miktash shma Biya. It's rather, says Rav Yisrael, because kol asaymech, whoever does smicha, reishe v'rubay machnes, it wouldn't be enough just to stick his hands in to be considered a partial entryway. He would have to stick in his head and the majority of his body, where according to everyone, that's basically rubay kakulay, that it would be considered a total entry. And therefore, according to everyone, no raya to ula biya b'miktash, it would be considered a full biya. Says the Gemara, my time, what's the reason why you can't just stick your hands and lean in, you have to stick the majority of your body? Is because kol koicha be'inan, you need all your strength when you're doing the leaning on the animal, that's why it's not possible. And therefore, there's no raya to ula from the braisa. Now, once we introduced this braisa, which we thought would be a proof to Ula, which was rejected, so the Gemara says, my kasava, what does the time of this braisa hold when he says that all the leanings, all the smichas of the karbanis needs to be right before the slaughtering has to be the smicha, except for this one, which we said, the Hashem Atzara, then you have no choice, you're not going to have take the smicha shchita. And that asks the Gemara why. If the Tana holds, just like every carbon, the smicha of the asham of the mitzayra is biblical, and moreover, the take of the smicha shchita deraisa, and that also the halacha of having the smicha right before shchita, as the pasuk says, v'samach v'shachat, that you have to have right before the slaughtering is the smicha, is also biblical law. So then the Torah is permitting you. The Torah is telling you, bring the asham mitzayra, which biblically requires smicha, and the Torah is also telling you biblically that you have to have take of the smicha shchita. So then, let him go straight into the Azara, lean on it, because the Torah says that he has to lean, and it has to be, he has to do right before the Shechita, which has to be inside. So just like we permit, for example, a Mitzayra to be Machnes Bahaynes, even though generally that shouldn't be permitted, but the Torah says you need to do it. So the Torah says you need to do both these halachas. So what's the problem? So go ahead and do it inside. So Amar Rav Bamasna, he says no. Even though biblically maybe that would be the case, and that whatever it would require, you could do the smicha inside the azara for asham mitzayra, but gzeirah shemayarba b'psiyas, there's a rabbinic reason why we don't let it. Because maybe after he's going to do the smicha, if he takes one extra step inward into the azara, more than what's necessary, comes out he's violating a punishment of karis, because he's a person that's tamei, that's not allowed to enter in the azara. So, although for the biblical halacha, it allows him to do the smicha, but if you do one misstep, he just violated Einish of Karas. So, to avoid that, we say that we don't let him go in. But yeah, biblically, maybe that would be the case, but rabbinically, we don't allow it because he might be over an Einish of Karas. Or Yigadami, that those say a different version, Amr Avad Bamasna, he says that actually, the understanding of the Tana of the Braisa is that smichas asham mitzayr deraisa. Yeah. The halacha of leaning of the animal, the asham of the mitzayra, is just like all other carbon ashams, which the Gemara learns out in the first paragraph of Yud Alfam and Alf from a smicha, from a hekesh of when it says kechatas ka asham, just like a kamechatas requires smicha, so to asham, and that includes asham mitzayra. But the take of the smicha shchita lav dairaisa. But the Tana does not hold that the halacha of having the smicha right before the shchita to be biblical, because he does not understand v'samach v'shachat to say that wherever you do the shechita, that's where you have to have the smicha. He learns the pasuk in a different way, as we're going to shortly see. And since it's not biblical, so therefore that does not allow him to violate the chi of karis of going into the azara, and therefore he does the smicha outside, and then it takes some time until they do the shechita. Now, however, Meisebei, they asked on this version of Ravad Ramasna from the following braisa. The braisa says, it says in one pasuk v'samach, that he has to lean on the animal. The next pasuk says v'shachat, that he has to slaughter. So why does the pasuk have these two halachas one near each other? To make the following hekesh. Mas micha b'tahirin, just like leaning on the animal has to be someone that's tahar. Now, the reason why it's so obvious that the one who's doing smicha has to be tahar is because the next pasuk by Shechita says, lefnei Hashem, which means to say that the slaughtering has to be inside the azara. Now, since we know this halacha of tekev l'smicha shchita, that the slaughtering has to be right after the smicha, so it has to be that the one who's leaning on the animal also has to be inside. And to have the tummy person on the outside and leaning on it in the inside is not possible, because like we said before, he needs to have his head and the majority of his body as he's doing the smicha. So he would have to be inside. So if he has to be inside, obviously he has to be tar. So av shchita b'tahirin, so the comparison of the next pasuk of Ashachat is also saying that the one who's slaughtering also has to be tar. Which was retorted in the previous daf, why would we need that? Seemingly, of course, the shchita is inside, no, because you could slaughter from the outside, but it's saying that whoever's slaughtering has to be tar, because we know it from smicha. Now, on that, asked the Gemara, V'i amrit lab deraisa. Now, if you say like this last version of Rav Masna, that the halacha of tekev l'smicha shchita is not biblical, so how is it so obvious to the braisa that the one who's doing the smicha has to be tar? What do you mean? B'tmei, you could have a case of a tummy person doing the smicha, if he does the smicha on the outside, and then a tar person brings it inside and slaughters it. Because you don't need to have biblically right after the smicha the shchita. So how is it so obvious to the braisa that the smicha has to be done b'tahirin? So Ella rather says the Gemara epach. Right, we have to switch around the answer of the last version of Rav Ad Bamasna. That, yeah, you can't have both elements to be deraisa, because then we said, so then let him come in and do it. The first answer said it's gzeirah d'rabbanan. The second answer was saying, because one of them is rabbinic. And that we're switching it around and the other way. That smichas asher metzara lav deraisa. Which one's not biblical? Actually, the halacha of the asher metzara getting smicha, that's not biblical. The reason for that is because the Tana of the Braisa holds, it's not the same as all other carbon ashrams. All other carbon ashram, kachatas ka ashram, yeah, just like a chatas is a sin offering, so to ashram is a guilt offering. In contrast, the ashram etzer is not for any sin, it's only to allow him to permit him to go ahead and be part of kudshim, but not because of a particular sin. So therefore, it's not going to allow him to go inside to do the smicha, because the smicha is not in the Braisa digadin. But but the other halacha, that of having the shechita right after the smicha, that's biblical. But that's for something that requires biblically a smicha. Now, Shema Tzaira, according to the second answer of Adam Masna, does not require it, and therefore doesn't allow him to go into the Azara in a state of impurity of being a Mitzaira. Now, we continue to Medbeiz, where Ravina Amr, he goes back to the discussion of the previous daf. Ula had said in the name of Rish Lakish that a Biba Miktis Shema Biya. Now, we had asked the question, and we had said, we had asked from an extended braisa that said in the case of Mitzayra on this eighth day that he saw Keri, which we said that it seems like that we're permitting even him to come inside partially, which a tummy person coming in partially, if you say Bibimixa Shema Bia, like Ula was saying, then that's not say Sheyesh Bakaris. So why did the braisa say that we could override the halacha of a bal keri that's a tzvul yam coming into harabayis, because it's only asay she'im b'karis, and we'd rather have that overridden to allow him to do the karban pesach, which is asay she'yesh b'karis. But said the Gemara, according to Ula, it's an asay she'yesh b'karis too, because when he's partially entering his hands into the azara, that's considered, according to Ula, a coming into the azara, because it's b'miktsa shema b'ya. Well, that's asay she'yesh b'karis too. That was a question that was posed on Ula. So the Gemara gave answer that regarding that, yeah, it depends. Bia b'miktza shema bia, but the thing is that kibin shahutra hutra, what's called kibin ishtri ishtri. Once we permit him for the tzaras, that's what the Gemara had said to explain for Ula, so then we already allowed other things too, but you're right, really it would be a problem. And that Ravina gives a different approach to answer the question. He says, le'in malkus itmar. What Ula was saying in the name of Rish Lakish, of bia b'miktza shema bia, as actually his words explicitly come to say that, that was only said in regards to halacha of getting lashes, but not regards to halachas of karis. And therefore, there's no more question of the halacha of mitzayra that saw keri, because that whole question was, what? You're saying biba mixa shema bia? Well, then that means to say that when he comes into the azara, it's a violation, because you're saying it's considered coming in regarding karis? And I would say, no. For karis types of punishments, we don't consider it shema bia. For things regarding Malkus, we do consider it Bia. Now why? Why would that be the case? The reason is because what was the source that Ula brought from Rish Lakish that we know that a Bia b'miktas shema Bia? Was the Pasik that said, v'ela kodesh le'siga, v'ela miktas le'tave. It was equating coming into the Beis HaMikdash to touching Kadshim. What is that compared for? For a le'sase, for a negative prohibition in the Torah which gets lashes, because when it's saying le'tave, it's only comparing it for Azara, not for Einish of Karis, because there is no punishment of touching the Kadshim with Karis. So must have been the whole source that we even know Biba Miktash Mabi in the first place was only for the negative prohibition, the Azara, not for the punishment for that of Karis. And therefore, you're right, regarding the element of Karis, we don't consider Biba Miktash Mabi, and therefore there's no question in the first place. When the Tvul Yoim of the Bal Keri, which is on the eighth day of his teras, sticks his hands in, there is no asay sheyesh b'karis. There's no question in how do we understand that braisa according to Ula, because it's only b'miktas mixed shema bia regarding the leisase, but it does not consider it regarding the karis, and that's why there's no difficulty. Now, ki asa Ravin, Amr Bavo, he gave a similar type of answer like Ravina in qualifying this halacha Rish Lakish that Ula was saying, but actually his approach actually undoes the whole halacha of Ula. He says, actually, the inyan tamei shenoga b'kodesh itmar, that actually Rish Lakish, who was teaching from this pasuk a halacha of lashes, like we're comparing it from Vela Mikdash when it says b'chol kodesh leisiga, was actually not learning any halacha regarding coming into the temple like Ula's halacha to say halacha bia b'miktas shema bia. It actually was only coming to teach regarding a tamei person that was Naga B'Kodesh, that touched Kadshim. And that's where he learns of in the Pasuk. And therefore the whole discussion doesn't start, because Rish Lakish actually was not talking about a halacha of saying be b'miktzah shma bia by comparing it to b'chol kodesh leisiga. The Emet, like we learned, is we're going to prove that actually this pasuk that Ulad quoted that we see from Rish Lakish, the comparison between coming into the Beis HaMikdash and touching Kachim, is not like the way Ulad said it, that it's actually learning out Bias Mikdash from Negiah by Kodesh, but it's actually the other way around. It's actually a teaching, as we'll see at the end of the Amid, it's actually a teaching that we know from Bias Mikdash to touching Kodesh. Ditma, like we learned, Tamei Shenoga B'Kodesh, regarding a Tamei person that touches Kachim, Rish Lakish Shama Laika, Rish Lakish says that from this pasuk, as we're going to illustrate, you learn out that he gets lashes. Rabbi Yechon Ameinu, like he says, no, the person who touches Kachim does not get lashes, as the Gemara explains. Rish Lakish Shama Laika says the person gets lashes from the pasuk in the Yukud that we were quoting, says, B'chol Kodesh Leisiga. Anything of holiness, one should not touch. A clear pasuk, a loisa say in the Torah, a negative prohibition, not to touch kachim. And if someone does, like every loisa say, you get lashes. Rabbi Yechon Ameinu, like he says, no, the person does not get lashes if he touches something of kachim in a state of impurity. Because hahu b'truma ksiv. That pasuk is talking about truma, not kachim. And many times in the Torah, truma itself is called kodesh. How do we know the pasuk is talking about truma? Because at the end of the pasuk says, this is in the context, the pasuk of which tummy person should not touch kodesh? It's talking about eyoledes, a woman who gave birth. And it says, ad meloisi mei tahara, until the completion of her days of purity, which is, that then she'll have sundown. What does that mean? Because generally, a regular case of a person who becomes tummy, they immerse during the day, they're called tvil yom, and they have to wait for sundown, hair of shemesh, and then that's when they become pure. Now, a yoledes is very unique, and that is on the seventh day of her birth is when she immerses herself in the mikvah. Then, for the next 33 days, she is what's called Yemei Tahara, which means she's like a Tevulas Yoim for all those 33 days. On day 41, she brings her carbon. Now, from the fact that the Pasuk says that she should not touch Kachim Ad Melois, the inference is, but when it completes the days of her Yemei Tahara, even before she brings her carbon on the 41st day, that she's still Mechuseres Kapar, she's still lacking atonement, that already at that point she could touch the Kodesh. Now that's obviously, and that's what Rabbi Yechonon's idea is, talking about Truma, because with regards to Kachim, the permissibility, Truma, the permissibility is always, which our first Mishnah in Shas opens up with that idea, that by sundown, by Tzeis HaKechavim, that's when they could partake of Truma, but Kachim could only be when there's atonement. As the Gemara says from a Pasuk in Masechtas Yevamos, a Perka Aral. So here when it's allowing after sundown, when the Yemei Tahara is concluded, even before the Kippurim, the Karbanos are brought the next day, obviously it's Tumat Truma. So since the Pasuk is Tumat Truma, we cannot learn out that if someone touches Kachim, he's going to get Malkus, although that would simply be a Kalochemer. If Truma, which is a lower level of sanctity, if someone touches it, gets lashes for sure for Kachim, because Allah is Ein Masir Min Adin. We cannot give a negative prohibition based on logic, based on the Kalochemer. So therefore, Rabbi Yechonon disagrees, and he says, no, actually, if someone touches Kachim, he does not get lashes. Now, so the Gemara asks, so that was the teaching of Rebbe Vohh, which was a whole different version of Rish Lakish's teaching, as we'll see that that's actually learned out from a comparison to Vela Mikdash Leitavai, the opposite of what Ula was saying, that we learn out regarding Bia, that it's Bia B'Mikdash Mabia, from touching, which is also partial, that is considered a whole touching. Here, as we'll see, that Rish Lakish is learning from this halacha that actually it tells us regarding the halacha of touching from coming into the base of Migdash. But before the Gemara does so, the Gemara has a question. Rish Lakish, hai kro lahachi hu di'asa? Is that really true that this is what this pasuk is coming to teach, like this halacha that Rebbe Vohh was saying in his name and his machlikas with Rebbe Yechonon, that's regarding whoever touches kachim gets lashes? But hai mibayalei, he needs it to teach a different halacha. What's this other halacha? Azhara la'eichel baster kaidish. To find the source of a prohibition warning a person from consuming meat of a carbon when he is in a physical state of impurity, which is different halacha. One is don't touch kachim when you're impure, and this is talking about regarding a warning. Not the first pasuk was saying that he gets lashes. The first interpretation we're quoting was that Rish Lakish says it's telling you that if you touch kachim when you're tummy, you get lashes. Another Gemara asks, but you see, as we're going to shortly quote, Rish Lakish says it's regarding a azhara. Not regarding the punishment of lash, but that there's a prohibition for someone to eat kachim in a state of impurity. Didn't like we learned? Azhara la'echel basar kodesh minayim. What's the source for the prohibition in the Torah for someone to eat the meat of a kachim in a state of physical impurity? So Rish Lakish, according to this pasuk, b'chol kodesh le'siga, which the Gemara is going to expound later on, is actually azara to eichel, although the words are literally touching, but it means not to eat it in a state of impurity, which is what the woman is the yeledis before she completes her 40 days. Rabbi Yechonam, he says, no, tani bardla toward a braisa, that the source for this halacha is asya tumasa mi bias mikdash. We learn out exereshav in the word tumasa, his tumah, from the halacha of coming into the base of mikdash, where it says a punishment of karis by someone who eats kadshim in a state of physical impurity, and it says v'tumasa ilav in that pasuk. It also says by coming into the base of mikdash, the words ay tumasa bay, he also has his tumah on it. So the exereshav in the word tumasa, which is mala halin just ago with it regarding coming into the base of mikdash in the state of impurity, anash v'hizir, not only does the Torah say, as we mentioned, that it is a punishment of karis, there's also a pasuk that azhara, a warning to that, because every punishment in the Torah has to have a warning with it too. It says in the pasuk v'lo yitamas machanim, they should not make their camps impure. So afkan, here also, when someone has a tumas haguf and he's eating kadshim, anash v'hizir, although we have a source for the punishment, but where's the source for the asara? That we know from the gzeirah shava to bias mikdash in the state of impurity, because both say tumasa, and just like over there, it's anash v'hizir, here also the anash also has an asara. So therefore he disagrees with Rish Lakish. He says, you don't know asara la'ichal basa kodesh from b'chal kodesh le'siga, but rather from gzeirah shava tumasa. But one thing the Gemara is asking is, how could Rish Lakish, as we were just saying, it was quoted that Machlokes, which Rav Avoh was saying, that's the halacha that Ula had said incorrectly, that was a different halacha, that what's a teaching regarding Tamei Shenaga B'Kodesh, how could it be saying that if the Pasuk is teaching, as we quoted from Mishlokesh, Asar La Eichel Basar Kodesh, that it says Hara for someone who eats Basar Kodesh? That answers the Gemara. We actually learn out both things from the Pasuk. Tamei Shenaga B'Kodesh, regarding a Tamei person that touches Kodshim, we learn it out, the fact that the Torah used the terminology of touching. So obviously, it's alluding to something halacha regarding touching, which that's the halacha that Rebbe Avoh had said, that tamish enaga b'kodesh is learned out from this pasuk b'chol kodesh le'siga. Now, ashara la'eichel, the prohibition regarding the warning of someone who eats kachim in a state of tumah, that's what the primary pasuk is coming to tell us. How do we know that? That's what we had alluded to earlier when we were saying that what's the pasuk comparing when it says regarding touching b'chol kodesh le'siga and b'la mikdash le'tavai, mid'iskish kodesh le'mikdash, and the fact that the pasuk is equating touching kodesh, kachim, the meat of the karbanis, and in the state of impurity, and coming into the base of mikdash in the state of impurity. Because in that pasuk, as we've quoted before, it says b'chol kodesh le'siga, and it says b'la mikdash le'tavai. So we expound. Just like coming into the base of Mikdash is something that is a penalty of Karis, so too in the first part of the words before that, that's giving a warning regarding Kachim itself, it's also something that's going to have a punishment of Karis. Now that must mean eating, because regarding touching, we don't find the Torah that it's a punishment of Karis. So when the Torah here is giving a warning regarding a punishment that says somewhere else, it must be a warning of Karis, because it's comparing to the base of Mikdash, which has Karis, which is only eating. However, an Azhara for someone who touches, that he's going to get Malkus, like the first halacha of Rish Lakish, that we could still learn out from here, because ultimately the pasuk still used the terminology of Leisiga. Although it's referring to eating, but why did he use the term of touching? To also allude, and also to tell us that Isser of Tamish and Nagab HaKadosh is going to get Malkus, like Rish Lakish had said. Says the Gemara, Tanika Vaseid Rish Lakish. We have a braisa that says, like Rish Lakish, that the source for the prohibition of someone eating kachim is from this pasuk, not like Rabbi Yechon, who we disagree with. Because the pasuk says b'chol kodesh le'siga, anything that's holy, one should not touch. So Rabbi Yechon had said it's talking about actually regarding truma. But says the braisa, asar la'ichal, this is a warning for someone who eats kachim in a state of impurity. So that says the braisa, hato'im asar la'ichal, is it really coming to tell you a prohibition regarding warning? Or in el-nageya, or like the literal translation of the pasuk sounds to be saying, regarding someone who touches, as the other halacha of Rish Lakish, because that's what the wording says, that it says le'siga. But that's what the pasuk teaches when it says, and anything holy don't touch, and then the pasuk continues, and don't come into the temple. Makish kodesh lemikdash. It's comparing the person being tamei and eating kachim and going to the base of mikdash. Which tells us, like we said before, ma mikdash davish yesh by zvikitin tabal lamadalam and alf, netilas neshama, just like going to the base of mikdash in the state of impurity has the consequences of someone's soul being taken away from him, meaning gets karas. So too, the type of Isser that we're talking about over here, that the punishment for Kachim is also going to be Karis, which, as the Gemara says, v'ibin ageyev would be regarding touching kachim, netilas neshama me'ika, is there karas? There isn't. So obviously it's talking about regarding, as the Gemara says, elabachila. So that's what the Bryce says. It must be told me regarding eating, which supports Rish Lakish. Now the Gemara, however, has another question. But vakati mebailei. But still, how can you say the pasuk is coming to tell you regarding tamei shenaga b'kodesh, like Rebbe had said this version of Rish Lakish? So though we answered the pasuk regarding eating, we said, okay, we can understand both halachas, eating and touching. But the Gemara says vakati mebailei. But still, you need the pasuk for something else. L'tamei she'achol baser kodesh lefnei zrika, to teach you regarding someone who's tamei and eats the meat of a carbon before the blood was thrown. Now that's problematic, because since after the blood was thrown, you're saying you learn that from this pasuk, which is the punishment of karis, then how could you learn that both after the blood was thrown and before the blood was thrown, if before the blood was thrown, there is no punishment of karis? And those are two different halachas. So how can you say you're learning both from this pasuk, which is actually three halachas? Ditma, like we learned, tamei she'achol baser kodesh lefnei zrika, regarding a tamei person who ate the meat of a carbon before the blood was thrown. Because generally one is not allowed to, one has to wait till the blood is thrown. And then that's the matir permits the meat to be eaten and the emurim to be sacrificed on his bath. Let's say a tamei person eats the meat of the carbon before the blood was thrown. So Rish Lakish Amar like, he says the person gets lashes. Rabbi Yechonam Einna like, Rabbi Yechonam says he doesn't get lashes. So the Gemara explains, Rish Lakish Amar like, b'chol kodesh le'sik, it says in the pasuk, and anything holy do not touch, which we mentioned before means eating, because it's comparing it to Ela Mikdash le'tavay, and that's, as we said, must be regarding eating. But still, the pasuk says, don't eat any meat of the carbon when you're tamei, so it doesn't differentiate. Leishn lefnei zrika, v'leishn alachas zrika, so it doesn't make a difference if it's before the blood was thrown or afterwards. Rabbi Yechonam Einu like, he says, no, the person's not going to get lashes. Why? Because k'detani bardala, like we had mentioned on the previous amid, like bardala had taught in the Braisa, that asya, where do we learn out the azhara for a tamei person not to eat kachim? Is tumasai from the Gezeirah Shavah, like we said, where it says tumasai by eating kachim, and it says tumasai by coming into the Beis HaMikdash in the state of impurity. Now, obviously, we said, what's the limud? We said, we know the einish of karis, both by eating kachim in the state of impurity and going to the Beis HaMikdash in the state of impurity, but we didn't know where it says the azhara, the warning. So we learned it out from going into the Beis HaMikdash. Just to go over there, not only does it say punishment, it also says azhara. So too, for eating kachim in the state of impurity, it also, besides the anish, also has an azhara. But ultimately what that means to say is that the azhara is being learned out from the einish, because that's what the limud is. Just like there the einish has azhara, so to hear the einish also has an azhara. Now, the chikas of hahu, and when does that pasuk say over there, is la'achas rika, is only after the blood was thrown. That's when there's a punishment of karas, which then has azhara with it, and not before the zrika. As the Gemara in Menachas of Chofeimed Beis elaborates on this and says, you would think that there would be a liability for tumah of partaking of the kachim even before the blood was thrown. So that's what the pasuk teaches over there. It says, kol tar yechol baser, whoever is pure could eat the meat of the carbon, but whoever is not pure is not allowed to. Now what that tells us is, the type of meat of the carbon that was permitted for people that are tahar, that's where there's going to be a liability for someone who's tamei for eating it. But whatever is not permitted for tahirim, which before the zrika even tahirim cannot eat it, then there's not going to be a liability for the tamei person either. And therefore Rabbi Yechonam says that no, there's not going to be any lashes for partaking of it before the zrika of dam. But one thing is, the question is, Rish Lakish is learning a whole different halacha from this pasuk regarding partaking of the baser kodesh before the zrika. How do you see them in this pasuk if you tell me that you're learning out baser kodesh la'achas zrika from this pasuk? Which, actually, the reason why la'achas zrika is because that's when there was the chiyuv of karis. That's we're learning out from Bela Mikdash Leitavli. So how can you learn out both halachas? Says the Gemara, Im Kain, because if that would be the case, that if it was only coming to teach us regarding someone who eats the baser of the carbon after the blood was thrown in a state of tumah, and that was the only thing that was coming to teach, then lema krob b'kodesh. Then the pasuk should have said that baser b'kodesh, that it should have said the terminology of b'kodesh le'siga, which we said doesn't mean touch, it means eating. And I would have known that's referring to after the blood was thrown, which is similar to the punishment, which is that of karas. My b'chol kodesh, why does it have the extra word b'chol kodesh in every carbon? Mamun Atarati is teaching us both. Not only that, which we know is achila because it's comparing it to Bel Mikdash Leitavi, which is that of Karis, which is after Zrika, but it's coming to include B'chol Kodesh Leisiga. Actually, it's including every Isser regarding eating the carbon, the meat of the carbon, in the state of impurity, even before the blood was thrown. So there comes out that according to Rish Lakish, we're learning of three different teachings from this pasuk. First of all, regarding Azhara L'tamei Sha'achal Basar Kodesh, because we said it's obviously referring to eating, although it uses the terminology of Naga because it's comparing it to Mikdash, which just like Mikdash is a Chiyav Karas, so too the only one that we find the Chiyav Karas is eating a carbon in a state of impurity, and therefore this is the source for the Azhara. So it's teaching us regarding a Tamei that's Naga B'Kodesh, that if he touches Kodesh, he gets Malkus, because it used ultimately the terminology, was the vernacular was one of touching. And it also teaches, like the Gemara said now, even the tummy person that eats before the Zrika of the Dam is going to get lashes because it uses the term Bachal Kodesh, Laisiga, and therefore there's no difficulty in this interpretation of Rish Lakish, which again we said is not like the whole teaching that we had of Ulu name of Rish Lakish in the previous stuff, which would teach us Biyah B'Mikdash Shma Biyah, because it's comparing it to that of touching, which is always just partial. So to entering partial is considered entering, and then we said, no, the teaching actually the opposite. It's not teaching anything regarding Biyah B'Mikdash Shma Biyah. It's actually teaching, we're learning out from Biyah to touching, which just like coming in is referring to a chiv of karas, so to touching is a chiv of karas, which therefore it's not talking about regarding touching, although that is alluded to also, but it's actually coming to teach regarding the iser of azhara la'ichol basar kodesh in the state of tumah, that we know this karas, where do we know the azhara? It's from this pasuk.